It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
And a very pleasant good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And last night at Lone Depot Park in Miami, the Marlins were looking to salvage a game in their opening weekend, three-game set against their in-state rival, Tampa Bay Rays. Eliezer Hernandez was on the mound for Miami. But things did not end well for Eliezer last night. As for Tampa Bay, they sent the veteran left-hander Rich Hill to the mound. This was a wild back-and-forth affair. And with the recap, as always, here is Glenn Geffner.
Back with you here at Lone Depot Park. Tonight we celebrate the Marlins' first victory of the 2021 season, and we congratulate Kim Ng on her first win as a Major League General Manager. Kim, who joined us during the broadcast here tonight, had to enjoy this one. The Marlins' bats erupting. They had a total of four runs on 13 hits in the first two games of this series against the Rays. Tonight, a dozen runs on 14 hits. Seven of the 14 hits went for extra bases. Four doubles, a triple, and the team's first two home runs of the season. It got a little dicey at times, but the Marlins, in the end, prevail. They beat the Rays 12-7 to salvage the final game of this season-opening three-game series against the defending American League champions. Eliezer Hernandez started against Rich Hill tonight. Eliezer worked a 1-2-3 top of the first on 13 pitches with a strikeout. And in the bottom of the first, the Marlins jumped out on top against the 41-year-old Hill, the oldest pitcher in baseball to start this 2021 season. Miguel Rojas worked a 10-pitch walk to begin the inning. Starling Marte followed with a single, putting men at first and second. Miggy then got off to a big lead. Hill forgot about him. He broke third base, and the Marlins, with Marte following Miggy, stealing second, pulled off a double steal. Miami had men at second and third, nobody out, bottom of the first, and Jesus Aguilar got the scoring started. Mike Estabrook's the home plate umpire. 2-2 to Aguilar. In on the hands, skied out to center field for Kiermaier. Should be deep enough. Miguel Rojas tags at third, comes home. Kiermaier's throw is headed toward third base. A sacrifice fly for Jesus Aguilar. And the Marlins are on the scoreboard first tonight. They take a 1-0 lead in the first. The Rays almost always seem to have an answer, though, and they responded quickly against Eliezer in the second inning. Yandy Diaz, leadoff single. Hernandez came back. He got Kiermaier on a comebacker. Got Willy Adames to ground to third. There were two outs with Diaz at second base. On a 1-2 count, Hernandez crossed up his catcher, Chad Wallach. He threw what appeared to be strike three. But because the catcher was caught unprepared for the breaking ball, he was unable to handle the pitch. He didn't catch it cleanly. He didn't get the call from Mike Estabrook. So that took the count to 2-2. And eventually, with the count full, the Marlins paid for the communication error. Mike Zunino coming up big for the Rays. I think if you have the technology, it's good enough. Let's do it. 3-2 pitch. Zunino hits a high drive deep to left field. Way back. Brinson looks, and Mike Zunino has hit it out to give Tampa Bay a 2-1 lead. It was not, however, 2-1 for very long, because in the bottom of the second, with one out, John Birdie doubled. He was at second base for Chad Wallach in his first at-bat of the season. He started, if you include the postseason, 8 of the last 9 games. Final week and into the playoffs. 2-1, he goes the other way, ground ball, base hit, right field. Birdie touches third, he's coming home, he'll score without a throw, and we're tied at 2 as Birdie and Wallach combine against Hill here in the second. In the bottom of the third, Marlins would snap the tie in the top of the inning after Eliezer Hernandez struck out Rich Hill. He left the ball game. Trainer came out to the mound. His velocity had been down on his last couple of fastballs. They looked at his hand. We thought it might have been a blister issue for Eliezer Hernandez. We would later learn that he has some inflammation in his right biceps tendon. He'll be further evaluated. Don't have any further information on Eliezer Hernandez's status moving forward, but he had to leave this game after 2 1/3 innings tonight. 2 hits, 2 runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts. Allowed the homer to Zunino, 34 pitches. 23 strikes. He was relieved by Paul Campbell, making his major league debut. Campbell gave up two quick hits, but then he struck out Joey Wendell, got Yandy Diaz to line to third, so he went to the bottom of the third in a 2-2 tie. Rich Hill still out there in the last of the third, got the first two outs. Marte ground ball to second, Aguilar a fly ball to center, but he couldn't get Garrett Cooper. 0-2 pitch to Cooper. He's hit high in the air, deep left field. Speaking of first home runs of the year, this one's got a chance. It is gone! Home run Cooper! And the Marlins take a 3-2 lead. Garrett Cooper, 364 feet to left on a no-ball, two-strike count. Miami went up 3-2. Marlins would add to that lead against Hill in the fourth inning. Jazz Chisholm led off with a walk. He had a big lead from first. He broke for second, trying to steal second base. Before the pitcher Hill started to the plate, Hill stepped off, spun, threw to second, but Jazz beat the play, a stolen base. On the very next pitch, he then stole third base. So a man at third with nobody out. John Birdie took a borderline pitch for called strike three. Jazz at third with one out for Chad Wallach. On 0-2, Wallach reaches out, bangs one to right. Coming on and making the catch, Meadows tagging from third base, sprinting for the plate, Chisholm, he's going to score head first. So Jazz a walk, he steals second, he steals third, scores on the sac fly, and it's 4-2 Marlins. A nicely manufactured run, and just like last night, it was 4-2 Marlins. But just like last night, it did not stay 4-2 as long as we would have liked. In the top of the fifth inning, Campbell was still out there after working a 1-2-3 fourth. He got a leadoff hit to Mike Brasso. Yoshi Tsutsugo then dropped down a sack bunt. Man at second, one out. Austin Meadows walked, putting men at first and second. Manuel Margot delivered an RBI single. That made it a 4-3 game. Campbell's night was over. Adam Simber out of the bullpen. Joey Wendell an RBI single to tie the game at four. Yandy Diaz then ripped a two-run double, and it was a four-run fifth inning and a 6-4 Rays lead, just like last night, from 4-2 Marlins to 6-4 Tampa Bay. At that point, we could close the book on Paul Campbell in his major league debut. While he looked really good out there, there was a lot to like. The bottom line numbers don't tell the whole story. Two innings, four hits, three runs, one walk and a strikeout through a wild pitch. Adam Simber out of the bullpen, two-thirds of an inning, two hits and a run. And at that point, it was a 6-4 Rays lead. But the Marlins came right back in the bottom of the fifth. Hill exited after four innings and 71 pitches, 52 strikes. He gave up the first four runs on five hits, a couple of walks, four Ks, and the Cooper home run. Chris Archer came on in the fifth inning. He got Miguel Rojas on a really nice running catch in left center field by Manuel Margot for the first out. But Starling Marte followed with a single. And down by a couple, he was at first base when Jesus Aguilar climbed into the batter's box. 1-2 pitch to Aguilar is ripped on a line deep to right field. Back goes Meadows, gets turned around, and he can't come up with it. It bangs up against the wall. Marte is waved around third. He's coming to the plate. Adames the throw home, not in time. It's an RBI double for Aguilar. Don't look now. Back come the Marlins. It's 6-5. And they kept on coming. More trouble in right field for Austin Meadows with Garrett Cooper the hitter. Archer the 2-2. Cooper a swing and a fly ball right center field. Racing over Meadows. Going back. Reaches up. Has to go off his glove. Aguilar to third. He'll be waved. He's coming home to score. Cooper's in at second. We're tied at six. It's been an adventure for Meadows out in right field this inning.
We're going to call it everybody that comes to hit. We're going to play hit it to Meadows right now.
He's a really good player and he had a really good series at the plate, but had a couple of mishaps out there in right field in the fifth inning. That went as an E9. And it enabled the Marlins to tie the game at six through five innings. Right after Tampa Bay scored four in the top of the fifth, the Marlins responded with two to tie it 6-6 into the sixth. Neither team scored in the sixth inning. That was the one and only full inning in this game in which neither team scored. Zach Pop, the Rule 5 pitcher, made his major league debut in the top of the sixth, set down the side in order. Nicely done, Zach Pop. Richard Bleier got the seventh. He worked a 1-2-3 inning. Very encouraging. And in the bottom of the seventh, Marlins tried to untie this 6-6 game against Chris Archer. Miguel Rojas led off with a walk. Starling Marte single. Two on, nobody out. Archer was pulled from the game. Ryan Thompson, the winning pitcher out of the bullpen on opening day, came on. He walked the first man, Aguilar. So the Marlins had him loaded with nobody out for Garrett Cooper. The 1-1 pitch to Cooper. A shot over second base. Base hit right center field. That's going to score Rojas, 7-6 Miami. Everybody moves up 90 feet. Cooper comes through again. Garrett Cooper at that point had two hits, including a home run, a couple of RBIs, and the Marlins had their lead back. And they had the bases loaded still with nobody out in the inning. Now, Thompson came back. He struck out Lewis Brinson for the first out. He was pulled in favor of Jeffrey Springs, who then caught Jazz Chisholm looking at a borderline pitch for strike three. So the Marlins had a run, but after scoring that run and having had the bases loaded with nobody out, suddenly the Rays had a chance to escape the inning down by just the one run if Springs could get John Birdie. 0-1 to Birdie is a line drive to right field. Meadows over. He's not going to get there. It's in for a base hit. Marte scores. Here comes Aguilar to the plate. All the way to third base, Cooper on a two-out, two-run single by John Birdie. The Marlins extend the lead to 9-6. Birdie comes up big, getting his first start of the year. He's 2-for-4 tonight. So for Miami, eight men to the plate in a three-run seventh inning and a 9-6 lead. With Dylan Floro out there in the eighth, the Rays got one run back. Joey Wendell, a leadoff double with two outs. He was at third base when Willie Adames hit a ground ball to John Birdie at third base. Birdie's throw across to first was mishandled by Jesus Aguilar. The E3 brought Wendell home and made it a 9-7 game into the bottom of the eighth. Marlins were hoping to add on after they saw what happened in the ninth inning in last night's game. And add on they would against Colin McHugh, longtime Astro, making his Rays debut. His very first pitch as a Tampa Bay Ray to pinch hitter Adam Duvall. First ball hitting Duvall. High drive, deep left field, way back. Goodbye, home run. Adam Duvall's first as a Marlin. And the Marlins get that run right back. It's 10-7 in the eighth. Then Miguel Rojas walked. He took second base on a pass ball. Man at second, nobody out for Starling Marte already with three hits in the game. It shows how far this team has come in terms of the talent on the Major League roster. 2-2 to Marte is smoked out toward right center. Kiermaier's on his horse, but not even Kevin Kiermaier is going to catch up to this one. It's going to bang up against the Mikosuke sign in right center field. Rojas scores. Marte's in, sliding at third base with an RBI triple, his fourth hit of the night. He's got seven hits in his last 10 at-bats, and the Marlins extend the lead to 11-7. When you think about what Marte has done, on opening day against the Rays, he went 0-for-4 with four strikeouts. But he came back 3-for-5, two singles and a double in yesterday's game. And tonight he goes 4-for-5, three singles, that triple, an RBI, three runs scored, a stolen base, filled up a lot of columns in the stat sheet. And so it was 11-7 Marlins at that point. The infield came in. Jesus Aguilar bounced to first for the first out. Marte still at third base for Garrett Cooper, capping a big night of his own. Well, if you're Don Mattingly making out the lineup cards, not an easy thing to do. 1-1 is rifled to left center field. That's going to split the gap and roll toward AutoNation Alley. Marte scores. Coop is digging for a double, and he's in standing up. 12-7 Marlins. So he's got three hits, a single, a double, a homer, and three batted in. And then it was Anthony Bass on to try to slam the door in the ninth. There was no save in it, but Bass, who blew the save in his first game as a Marlin last night, was able to get the job done here tonight. Mike Brasso on a pop-up to first for the first out. Yoshi Tsutsugo, a fly ball to center for out number two. And Austin Meadows went down swinging to end it. A 1-2-3 ninth for Bass. Nice bounce back after last night. And a nice bounce back for this ball club after losing the first two games of this series against a very, very good Tampa Bay team, the defending American League champions. Marlon Snyder victorious for the first time in 2021. Our final, Miami 12 and Tampa Bay 7. For the Marlins, 12 runs, 14 hits, 2 errors, 6 runners left on base. For Tampa Bay, 7 runs, 9 hits and an error. The Rays left 3. Richard Blyer, the winner, 1-0. Chris Archer, the loser, 0-1. Time of the ballgame was 3 hours, 32 minutes. The Marlins with the win are 1-2. The Rays with the loss fall to 2-1 on the young season. You go down the line for the Marlins at the plate tonight. You start with the leadoff man, Miguel Rojas. He was on base 4 times in this game with a double and 3 walks. 1-for-2 officially. He stole a base and he scored 3 runs. Starling Marte, out of the 2 spot in the batting order, went 4-for-5 in the ballgame. 3 singles, a triple, a run batted in, a stolen base. He scored 3 times. Jesus Aguilar had a double, a sac fly, a walk, two RBIs. He scored twice. Aguilar finished the night with one hit and three at-bats officially. Big night for Garrett Cooper. Coop had three hits, a single, a double, a homer, finished 3 for 5, knocked in 3 tonight, scored a run. Tough night for Lewis Brinson out of the 5 spot, 0 for 5. A couple of strikeouts. Jazz Chisholm walked, stole 2 bases, scored a run tonight. John Birdie getting his first start of the year. A single, a double. He knocked in a pair, scored a run. He was 2 for 4. Chad Wallach at his first start. And again, we told you before the game, Donnie said, I want to get everybody in there. I want to get everybody some at-bats on this first weekend of the season. So Anderson wasn't in the lineup. Duvall wasn't in the lineup. Alfaro wasn't in the lineup. Another night off against lefty for Corey Dickerson. And these players who stepped in came up big. Chad Wallach, 2 singles, a sac fly, 2 runs batted in tonight. He was 2 for 3 officially. And off the bench, Adam Duvall, the pinch hit home run in the 8th inning. His first long ball as a member of the Marlins. Remember, he was 3rd in the National League with 16 home runs for Atlanta last season. That ignited the 3-run 8th inning that put this one away. Marlins over the Rays 12-7. Again, on the injury front, Eliezer Hernandez left this game after 2 1/3 innings tonight with inflammation in his right biceps tendon. That's one to monitor. Remember, the Marlins started the year because of 2 off days in the first couple of weeks of the season with a 4-man rotation. Now you potentially take Eliezer Hernandez out of the mix. Meanwhile, we told you the last couple of days about Sixto Sanchez, who had some shoulder pain, and he's being evaluated at the alternate training site. So the Marlins, in the next week or 10 days, may need as many as 2 additional starting pitchers. You've got Nick Neidert waiting in the wings. You've got Dan Castano waiting in the wings. You've got others as well, but they would potentially seem to be the most likely arms if you don't use somebody who's already here, like a Paul Campbell, for example. We'll see, but Marlins may have some early decisions to make. We talked in the spring about the tremendous pitching depth this organization has, and look at this. It's going to get tested already very early on in the season, and that really shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. So Eliezer left the ball game. Pretty good job by the bullpen here today, particularly Zach Pop, a perfect inning in his major league debut. Richard Blyer, a 1-2-3 inning. Dylan Floro allowed just the 1 unearned run. He should have been unscored upon in the 8th, and a nice bounce back for Anthony Bass, a 1-2-3 ninth. There was no saving it for him. We saw Paul Campbell make his major league debut tonight. 2 Rule 5 pitchers with their big league debuts in this one as the Marlins beat the Rays by the final of 12-7.
All right, a big win for the Marlins. They salvage a game in the series against the Rays. Eliezer, we will learn afterwards. You'll hear more from Marlins manager Don Mattingly in just a minute. He's got a biceps issue, and this ball club's starting depth is going to be tested in a hurry. We'll have more on that and certainly some news in the coming days. First, let's hear from John Birdie. I caught up with Birdie after a ball game in which he was really impressive at the plate. Didn't single-handedly lead the team to a win, but he certainly held up his end of the bargain.
Okay, Glenn, thank you. John, that's a huge night at the plate for you. Offensively, collectively, a big night at the plate for the entire ball club. You go 2 for 4, a run scored, a couple of RBIs. It's not easy to be in your position, but how did you come off the bench, start this game tonight, and be successful?
Yeah, I mean, up and down the lineup, we just had great at-bats all night. So just trying to go up there and have competitive at-bats, and got put in a big spot there with bases loaded and 2 outs, and was just trying to pick the guys up and give ourselves a little more cushion there.
Hey, whether it was last night or today, what do you think the turning point was for this offense?
I think we're just getting a little more comfortable. You know, first few games, just getting used to being back out here at Marlins Park again, and really, really love to feed off those fans, and that was something special that we unfortunately didn't have last year, and we're looking forward to continuing that this year. And I think as we continue to roll and have quality at bats up and down the lineup, we're going to be tough to get out.
How important is it to have some fans back? How much fun is it?
Yeah, it's definitely a little more electricity here than with the automated crowd noise that they buzzed in last year. So we really love it and can't wait to get more people here too.
John, before we let you run, last one for you. I know this is just game 3, but was it important to win this one tonight after the way things went down in game 2 last night or no?
Yeah, I mean, every game is important in this league. You know, it's very difficult to get wins in this league. And, you know, we battled and we're always going to battle till the end. And we showed a lot of heart today going out there and coming back and putting the W out there that we did.
Heck of a job tonight, John. Thanks for the time. Keep it rolling.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff.
All right, Marlins third baseman John Birdie last night, who started in favor of Brian Anderson. Don Mattingly mentioning a couple of days ago he wanted to get everybody in there this weekend and get at-bats. He did so, and he pressed all the right buttons on Saturday night. Here was the manager after the ball game.
I guess we should start with Eliezer first. Just, I know it's the bicep inflammation, but just any update, do you anticipate him missing his next start? What can you give us there?
I don't really have anything to give you other than what they told you. And not sure what the steps are. I haven't talked with the trainers at this point. Obviously it's something that we'll have to be careful with. You know, we've also obviously Sixto's been slowed down a little bit, and our depth's going to get tested right away. So, hang on. Here we go.
And then secondly, just the offense, 14 hits. I think half of them were extra base hits. Just seeing up and down the lineup getting contributions from just about everyone. How'd you have liked that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we envision for our club. Not necessarily we're going to go out and score a ton of runs every night, but we do think we're pretty balanced up and down the lineup. Obviously, tonight we play a lot of different guys that were sitting there. Birdie comes up big. Coop comes up big. I mean, obviously, just starting with a couple, but a lot of guys. So I think we kind of broke out last night and just kind of broke the ice, and it seems like, you know, we just kind of continued on tonight, which is a good thing for us.
Christina.
Yeah, Donnie, going back to Eliezer, when, I guess, did he start feeling, you know, this discomfort, and when did you guys maybe notice it?
To be honest with you, we were looking at the blister, and we'd seen the velo. And he had talked to the trainers about, he's constantly messing with that little thing he gets on his finger. And we're looking at that, and we see his velo, and it's like, we got to go out. And really the shoulder came after that. So.
What? Danny.
Thank you, Jay. Donnie, especially on the offense, also the base running was really good tonight, especially with Jazz and the double steal and, you know, March, Birdie, and everything you can do with speed, and something that has been your game in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think, again, part of the vision, I think, of Derek is, you know, he wants an exciting club, a club that's athletic and has speed all over the place. We're headed in that direction. Obviously, it's not up and down the lineup totally, but, the speed is just one of those things that it's hard to defend, and it puts pressure on the pitchers and other things, everything else. So, it's nice to have it.
And also on Miggy with three walks today, also a double. And it seems like in the past couple of games, he's been hitting the ball on the nose, and especially in the last 2 weeks of spring training as well. So what you're seeing on him lately, and what he's doing good at the plate?
Yeah, Miggy, we talk about him. He just keeps getting better, and, talking about what he does. And you're absolutely right. The last couple of weeks of spring, you could see it coming. And to me, that's what you usually see with guys that are getting ready. They tinker a little in spring early, what they were doing in the winter. The games kind of show you where you're at, and then you start making your adjustments. So he's been making those, and he just not going to put a ceiling on Miggy anymore. Not quite sure what he's capable of, but it's getting better and better.
All right, we'll go back to Jordan.
Yeah, Donnie, Paul Campbell, obviously a really tough situation for him to come into for his MLB debut. Just what did you see out of him being able to basically get you guys through after Eliezer went out, and just his performance out there?
Yeah, he hung in there. It is tough coming in, having to warm up, I think, on the field, and probably a lot of emotions for him. He was with Tampa Bay, bringing him into that situation where you have to get ready on the field. It's not one of those you always feel like the guy's going to rush. One of the things we tried to make sure that he didn't rush, but thought he was okay. He gave us two innings there, or close to two innings. Loved to have been five, but don't want to get greedy. So he kept us in the game. Looked like the kind of just got out of the zone a little bit that last inning there, but he kept us right there.
Christina.
And then moving on to the other Rule 5 guys, Zach Pop, the importance of, I guess, what he was able to do in that six when, the Rays had scored, but then you guys had responded.
Yeah, to come in and give us a good inning. It got us back into our back end, guys. Got us to Blyer and where we wanted to get to at the end of the game. So, you know, obviously getting a 1-2-3, I think he got a little bit of a heart rush there with the ball in the gap. Looked like it was hit pretty good. But, yeah, nice job by him. Threw strikes and went after guys.
Ethan?
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, Donnie, Jazz is like the young guy right now, and we all know that. But is he sort of like a catalyst? He seems to kind of be setting the tone in terms of energy on the field right now.
I think Jazz is one of the guys, honestly. He does play with a lot of energy. I think that's just who he is. But I just think he's one of the guys. This is a group of guys, and I think you see it tonight with the lineup we play. Where all these guys are going to be involved. And Jazz is one of them, but obviously he's young. He's exciting. He's fun to watch. It's simple, right, with him. He's fun to watch. Even when he basically gets picked off, he ends up getting a bag. You know, and then he steals third the next pitch. So, he's fun to watch.
Okay. I'm not sure who this is. You just have iPhone. You're going incognito.
Don, how important was it for Blyer and Bass to get back out there tonight?
About these top four guys in the lineup tonight.
One night after getting those big home runs late.
Yeah, I think you're asking about Blyer and Bass getting back out there. The things that we trust those guys. We know they're going to be good. You never know what you're getting that first time out of the block. It's a new year. But I do think it's important to get those guys back out there. I was glad we were able to get Bass back out there right away, get back on the horse and get going. And the same with Richard. So, it was good to get him back out there and have a game that, you know, obviously a game that we, in a sense, you don't want to let this game get away. And you know, we have it's back and forth. They've been kind of winning these late games. But it's a game, you know, you lose your first two, you don't want to go with the off day and kind of let that ball get rolling. So it's good to get this first one. It's a hard one to get. So now you feel like you're just kind of, you can get into the season.
And Kelly to wrap.
Hey, Donnie, to be able to pick up this win with a lot of the guys on your bench starting, how does that speak to the depth of this team?
Well, I think it says a lot. I mean, I think we're going to be a club that we're going to be able to feel comfortable whoever we put on the field. I don't think it's going to be important over the course of the season. Hopefully we don't have injuries and we keep it like this, but it seems like you always get nicked up at some part of the year. So, I think we look at this as a group and we're going to need all these guys. I think the better teams you see, the bench looks like this where you see a lot of different guys that they're willing to play.
Marlins manager Don Mattingly after the Marlins 12-7 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays. The Marlins now 1-2. The Tampa Bay Rays fall to 2-1. The Marlins are off today. However, they open up a series tomorrow night against the St. Louis Cardinals at Lone Depot Park. First pitch scheduled for 6:40. Trevor Rogers will take on Daniel Ponce de Leon. 6:40 first pitch, 6:10 airtime with the Marlins on deck. And as always, we hope you'll find some time to join us along the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.